Let's talk about innovation. 2020 has been difficult, to say the least, for haunted attractions, but we can learn a lot from some of the attractions that have used this opportunity to pivot in new ways. And so this week, we're talking to three haunted attractions that have really used the opportunity to pivot in entirely new directions. Today's interview is with Teresa from Dark at Fort Edmonton Park in Alberta, Canada. And Teresa talks about the goal planning they did with their team. She said that they focused from the beginning on staying in the market, delivering an exceptional experience, and remaining financially responsible. I think those goals are something that any company should be shooting for right now. From the Haunted Attraction Network, I'm Philip, and today is Monday, October 19th. This is your Halloween news briefing, and let's get directly into our interview with Teresa from Dark at Fort Edmonton State Park.
We probably weren't going to be able to execute on the scale that we've seen in previous years, so we knew we had to reimagine that. And part of reimagining that is taking into consideration the guest expectations, because I didn't want to put a Dark into the market and have everyone come expecting previous year's experiences, but instead it was a scaled back version. So one of the thought process was, we're going to put something to market, but it's going to be different. It's going to be an exceptional experience. We're going to maintain that brand awareness, but the guest satisfaction was also a real priority there. So a lot of informing our customers through marketing and social media leading up to it. Last year, we saw 12 nights. We did 12 nights of Dark. This year, early on, I thought, well, what can I commit to? And I thought, if we do bite-sized programs, we could do an entire month. So early on, I decided, let's commit to 31 days of Dark. Let's make sure that there's a lot of agility in our programming, because as with those guidelines changing, early on they were changing weekly. So we created programming that we could scale up or scale back depending on what the guidelines stated, and also depending on what the public appetite was. So if we went into market just a little bit timid and maybe with not a lot of program, but the public ate it up, then we knew we could always add to it. So agility was a big thing. So early on, we decided that our goals would be brand awareness, stay in the market, deliver an exceptional experience, and be financially responsible. So as we started developing these programs, we also realized that there is an opportunity here for us to pilot programs that we could do in the future. So creating new programs was actually an investment in our future, right? If we get to go back and do a Big Bad Dark next year, we still have tested out these new programs that we can run year-round, shoulder season, in conjunction with Dark. So it's not a waste. This programming is not going to go to waste. Everyone is challenged and has some struggles. And we thought, if we work together with our community and we find local businesses that will partner with us, then everybody can gain success from that, whether it's keeping them alive for one more month, keeping their name in the market, or building relationships for future years. Sometimes with a large scale event, it's hard for a small business to contribute in a large way. But because our programming is small, bite size, there is more opportunity for community partnerships.
For context, can you give us a sample of some of the programming details?
Part of the scalable programming was we came up with contingency plans, whether, zero guests could gather, or what if we could have 20 guests gathering, all the way up to like 500 guests gathering. So zero guest gathering just meant a virtual experience. We had to come up with some sort of online programming. So one of our online programs is a mixology class. So we've created these spirit boxes, and guests can buy their ticket online and then stop by the local distillery, pick up their boxes. And in that kit, there is liquor from the distillery. There's a local candy shop that's provided some garnishes, bitters. So all sorts of local businesses came together to help us put together that spirit box. And then guests can just stay at home with their cohort or do it online with some strangers. But that's one example of how community partnerships came together.
This also gives you something you can gauge in year round.
Yeah. And, there's part of the guidelines, but then there's also our customers. We don't know if our customers will be comfortable coming back. I think all of us have seen that there is an appetite for Halloween programming, and anyone who's put anything into the market, we've seen it just sort of get gobbled up. Like, everyone's excited. But the reality is there's a lot of people that may not be able to participate in large group activities next year. So we think that, again, if we can do our big version of Dark, maybe there's some online supplemental programming that could include our guests. Because one of our business pillars is accessibility. And coming on site is not always an accessible option for a lot of people. So I think that really this scalable and the ability to pilot these products, is an investment in our future.
Do you think it's successfully you're transitioning that from we were this life experience and we're still doing the same spooky things, but in a different way now? Has it been successful?
I think it has. However, I will say that when tickets went on sale, I do believe that members of the public just saw dark tickets and just grabbed them without even looking at the programs. We have one low volume activation, and that is paranormal investigations. For those who may not know, we are a living history museum, so some of our assets are access to older buildings. So this, we have one activation with up to 8 people and another with up to 12 people. So I do believe that some tickets were sold to people expecting to come down for dark. And that's where our marketing and all the messages on the tickets, all the social media, we let people know that what the experience is. Paranormal investigation, there's no gimmicks. There's no jump scares. It's basically paranormal investigating 101. So if you're coming down expecting a haunted house and now you're sitting in the dark quietly for 3 hours, it's not a good experience. So that is the one that we really have to monitor closely. The rest of them have been, I think they've been successful. The escape room is online. We're using one of our buildings as the backdrop for it. But again, virtual, online, do it at home from your computer. We're really trying to share that message. And you're right about the dark brand. We didn't want to put anything out there that was going to dilute who we are. It's not about us going all family friendly this year when that's not who we are at the core, right? So we had to make sure that the programming still fit into our image. And, even coming up with these virtual programs, people that are used to coming out for an event, we knew we weren't doing that. So even in our messaging, we decided that you're not coming to dark this year. Dark, it's coming for you. So we made sure that that's the line that we stick with. So I think overall, it's been successful. I think there's disappointed people out there. But this was really the best we could do. And we're delivering those experiences the best we can.
Yeah. I think that I love the line, it's coming for you. And you put it right into the tagline and right into the messaging. Because that, I think, sets the tone from the beginning that it's going to be a different experience, but that it's still the dark brand. And I agree, when you think about the activations you've chosen, they're definitely still in that vein. Even the mixology stuff is not meant for just like kids or meant for, I guess families could do it, but that's generally, you're not getting families that are doing like mixology events where the kids can't drink. Like, that's not.
Right. Well, we do in their home, but that we don't advise.
Yeah.
Because we're going virtual this year, we were afforded an opportunity to do some free events too. So every Monday night, we are hosting a virtual quiz night on Instagram Live. And that's free. We have prizes. Again, community businesses stepped up to help us add some interest to that activation. And then another component of dark is we have like a central hub with food and beverages and music. And we refer to that area as the rave yard. And so we're taking the rave yard online this year and we're going to close our event. And our same DJ, the Groove Digger, is going to be there. And we're going to wrap up the month and we'll hopefully engage with and get everybody excited for next year. We don't know what next year looks like, but our whole idea was to just keep people talking about dark, but keep people engaged and enjoying the product. And then we'll all look forward to whatever next year is going to look like.
I like that we have the quick decision to pivot early and then the establishment of your core guiding principles that really guided all the programming. And I think what we're left with is this event that is very cohesive. We talked a lot about this earlier, about pivoting early versus waiting until the last minute and then deciding whether or not you could open. And I know that there are some places open in the Canadian market, whether it's like a drive-through or whether it's back to full opening. But I like this because you made the decision early on and you created great programming and then you just staying with it because you've created a whole event, basically.
Yeah, it was really about risk mitigation up front. We wanted to do an event. We wanted to do dark, but we looked at the investment and the cost to pull off a large scale event, knowing that there'd be reduced capacity and, not knowing whether or not people would even be allowed on site at that time. So, right away, we knew that that was a big risk. We kept it part of our planning. We had all of those various scenarios. And then as the gathering numbers dwindled, we would start taking away chunks of programming. And then this is what we were left with. And as a business, we're running lean too, right? So we want to make sure that everything that we're doing is manageable, because you don't want to get to market and flop, right? You know, we had to be able to, we had to have the resources, we had to have the capacity. And I'm really excited that there was an opportunity to pilot these programs. They've been sitting on the shelf for a few years. We've been wanting to get these out there and get public feedback. I see it as an opportunity.
Well, thank you for coming on today. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
I don't think so. If anyone is interested in checking out our quiz night, virtual quiz night, it is at Fort Edmonton Park on Instagram Live. It's free. Anyone can check that out. But really, I just appreciate taking the time to talk with you, Philip. I always love talking about strategy and creativity and design. So thanks for chatting with me.
All right, that's it for today. If you have news, please send it to us at philip@hauntedattractionnetwork.com. And please, please rate and review us and send this to a friend and tell us if what we are doing here every day is helpful to you or not.
This is a Haunted Attraction Network production.